Walk up there, and then as soon as I got up here, they're going to be. Hey, let me just say, let's just pause for the cause for a second, because week in and week out, we get some wonderful, awesome praise leaders from our band. Amen? Yeah. All right. For our kiddos, they're already going. Ready, break. Ready, break. Here they go. Preacher is missing a bulletin. Yeah. Yeah. It's one of them complicated ones. It's not one, but I have one. Thank you. Oh, okay. Hey, let me tell you that Miss Carrie, we reuse these. The outside of your bulletin, everybody has the outside. No date or anything on them. It's got all the same where we are, our numbers, things that don't change. So if you think of it, just lay them. There's a table back there. Just lay them back on that table, and we'll find them. We'll reuse them, and we don't have to kill as many trees. You just might like to kill trees. If that's the case, just take them home with you and throw them on the fire or something. I don't know. But if you're sensitive to trees, you just go ahead and do that. I want to tell us our story. So let me pray for us. We're going to bounce all over the scripture. You're going to get a workout for your fingers if you try to follow me. I have it in your bulletin. That's why I needed a bulletin to make sure we stayed on the same page. But let me pray for us, and then we'll get started. Lord God, as we consider what you're doing at Christ Community Church, we consider what you've done through the history of your people as we find it in your word. Father, would you encourage us? Would you challenge us? Would you stir up your people? And Father, we also pray that you would be stirred up, because we need your help. So Father, as we tell our story, it's not a story that brings glory to Christ Community Church or any group or any person, but it's a bragging on the Lord and saying, look at what God has done and look at what God is doing. And so help us, Lord. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Just to tell you some of our story as Christ Community Church, we've been a church on the move, and it's funny that today we're speaking about this. And anyways, we have a friend visiting with us who's been here, hadn't been here in a while, but she's a longtime friend, and we're so glad that you're here, Miss Ashley White. We're so glad that you're here. Thank you. And y'all keep that in mind, and for all our friends and family, but we have a cool story at Christ Community Church. We've been a church that's never had our own building. We've been on the move. We've been in different places. We've prayed, Lord, help us to find somewhere. There's been several different places that the church has prayed specifically about to say, hey, is this where you want us, Lord? Back over on the other side of 55, there is some horrible land that the church prayed for before I came. It was just gullies right along 55 on the west side behind the Country Inn and Suites, Comfort Inn and Suites Hotel. And there was a time when, money was raised and we're seeking, is that the land that you'd have us buy? Several times we thought that old building, that old bank building, that old brick building that's not there anymore. Did anybody know it's not there anymore? That building is gone, baby, gone. So that original habitation for God's people at Christ Community Church is gone to the ground, just bloop, out of there. And that was part of our story. And we prayed several times, Lord, is this what you would have for us? You know, to have a place for us right here with the acres around that. And we were praying, and that wasn't it. Then we saw some land down off of Branscombe Road, not the land where we are, but some other land. And it was owned by another church here in town. And we struck a great deal with them. And we thought, this is the story. You know, the story is going to go through this way. And we went out on that land. And I remember I was one of the first, when we first went out to look at it, I was out there. And there was briars and there was all this thickets. And everybody knew I was afraid of flying. I'm afraid of stinging insects. In case you didn't know, watch out. And even ones that just bite, like horseflies and things, I have a bad reaction. And I'm not talking about allergic reaction. I'm talking about a sissy reaction. Because when they come at me, man, I start flailing. I start, ah! And I start spinning. And so we are like cutting through this trail of thickets. And somebody said, what happens if we come up on some yellow jackets or something? They said, John's going to kill us. You know, it'd be like a stampede. Just, getting out of there. But anyways, we thought that for sure was the place. And we prayed and we were praying and God said, and it just didn't work out. That wasn't the place. Oop, I done hit my thing. And hit my microphone. Let's see. And that just wasn't the place. And so we continued on to look. We found other places, and it just wasn't the place. Well, eventually God led us. Do I need to reconnect this, or is it? No, I'm good. God led us to a place that was just fine. And so we began to look there, and we began to pray. And I remember I took my kids out on that land. We even made a cross, so you could still see it. It's off in the swamp on the northeast corner. It was dried up then, so it wasn't swamp. And we put a cross down in there, and we prayed for that land, and we walked on it. And God opened that up and said, that's going to be your place. That was pretty awesome. That was in 2011. And then God moved us here. And we got here, and we started getting comfortable. And it kind of, I know for myself, and maybe not for anybody else, or there were some, and we said, maybe this is the place. You know, we couldn't rebuild this place. Maybe this is the place God has for us. And I remember us kind of putting a fleece out there and saying, Lord, you lead us. Like you led your people in the wilderness. You put a cloud before them. And if you went, the cloud went this way, you went, the people went that way. And if the cloud went this way, it went. If it stayed, the people stayed. If it went, the people went. And we prayed, and we kind of had the sense of, you know what, we think this might be it. Let's make an offer on this building. And to make a long story short, we made an offer, but it just didn't end up working out. And it seems like God was saying, no, this is the place. This was the place over here. And so we started building. And I'm just going to tell you, God has been leading us in that building. The name of this message, we're going to do a series called Kingdom Building. What I'm talking about is buildings that are meant for the kingdom. And what's really cool in the study of Scripture that we have before us is to know that we walk in history with God's people. Buildings are nothing new to God's people. God leading his people to a special place is nothing new in the history of how God has used people. And I'm excited to be a part of that, that God has led us to a special place and that we're building on that place. And it's coming along. But y'all, it's at that point where the people of God, that he's made this house for us to do ministry in. And we'll talk about what makes that place special over there. But he's led us to this place to do ministry in. But it's our responsibility, it's our privilege to say, let's get her done. Let's get her done. Let's do it. Let's finish this right. Let's get in there. Let's get to work. This is the place where God's led us. It's not here anymore. We know that. We went through everything. We went through a lot of investigation to find out where it was and where it wasn't. And we know where it is. And we're close. We're right on the brink. And y'all, we just need that push. We need that. And so I want us to look at some of these things. I want us to consider a special place, how God led his people in the Old Testament to a special place to build a special building. And they're going to build the temple. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 3 and verse 1, that's our building up there. But we have listen to what Solomon says. 2 Chronicles chapter 3 verse 1. Now Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, where the Lord had appeared to his father David, at the place that David had prepared on the threshing floor of Ornan, which was the man who owned it, the Jebusite. So when they get ready to build the temple, they didn't just go out there and throw an X on the spot, y'all. They prayed through it. Hold on, I think I'm going to have to fix my thing here for a second. Hold on one second. There. Oh, we're close. Can y'all hear me with the fuzziness in the background? Let me try one more time. Okay. Look at there. Gingerly, I'm putting it back in my pocket. All right, we're ready. Miss Rosemary, it's good to see you. And now that I got this break, I just, you know, I'm glad to see you here. Okay. All right. They didn't just pick a willing, they didn't just go anywhere. They said, we're going to build it here. He began to build on a place, and he identifies it as Mount Moriah, and he identifies it as the place that the Lord, the angel of the Lord, had appeared to his father David on a specific threshing floor. That's where it was going to be. That's where they're going to build the temple. It was a special place. What I want us to do, and what I'm going to do, is kind of abbreviate a couple stories that show how special that place was. Okay, the first story is in 1 Chronicles chapter 21. 1 Chronicles chapter 21. We're talking about a special place. It's a place that was designated by King David. Remember, Solomon said, this was the place where the Lord appeared to my father. This was the place where the Lord appeared to King David. But why did he appear at that place? That's what I want you to see in 1 Chronicles 21. Why did the Lord go to that place? In 1 Chronicles 21, yeah, 1 Chronicles chapter 21, this is what we hear. We hear that David had sinned against the Lord. And the Lord appears to David and says, I'm going to give you three options. There's going to be guilt. There's going to be a punishment for this sin. I'm going to give you three options. Option one is that there's a famine for an extended period of time. Option two, you're going to fall into the hand of your enemies for 3 months, and the enemy is going to attack you with the sword, violently attack you. And option three is you get 3 days experiencing the outpouring of the wrath of God. Not great options, but David nonetheless says this, I'm going to go with option C, door three, please. Because he said, if I'm dealing with the Lord, I believe the Lord will be merciful. I know that God has mercy. I know that he has grace. So I'd rather deal with the Lord than with any of those other things. Let me deal with you, Lord. So for 3 days, there's havoc being raised all across the territory. There's disaster. But then the Lord looked down as they came to Jerusalem, and it says the Lord relented. He stopped. He said, I'm going to have mercy. And David was praying that whole time during the three-day period. He was saying, I sinned. Let the consequences fall on me, not on all these, not on everybody else. So he was interceding. He was praying. And the Lord eventually relents. He says, I'm going to stop. I'm not going to do this anymore. He says, but this is what you need to do, David. You need to go to a certain place where I'm going to show you, a special place. And there you need to build an altar and have a sacrifice. You need to worship me in that place. So the Lord says he will lead him. And he said, you'll know this because the angel of the Lord will be there. And David, through a miracle, is able to see the angel of the Lord. And his sword is drawn. So he knows the place. And he goes there, and he builds an altar, and they offer a sacrifice, and the angel puts his sword back in his sheath. It's a place where God shows mercy. It's a place where David recognized his sin, and God showed mercy. Now, he says to the man who owns the land, because that land was owned by a man named Ornan, and Ornan had a threshing floor there, and he had oxen there. And he had, you know, all the tools. And David says, I need this place. This is the place the Lord has designated. And that guy saw the king. And that guy, Ornan, he also saw the angel. He said, take it. It's cool. It's all yours, man. This is your world. I'm just a farmer. You can have it. But David gives us an illustration here about this land and how precious it is. He says, one, I'm not going to offer to the Lord that something that belongs to you. How can I offer to the Lord that which belongs to somebody else? He says, I have to own it. And he says, secondly, I won't offer to the Lord that which costs me nothing. There has to be a value to what I offer to the Lord. And so when they are picking out this place, and this is the very place where they build the temple, it's the very place right now in Jerusalem where the Dome of the Rock is, where on the Temple Mount right now in our lifetime, this is the place we're talking about. And David buys it. And he offers it to God. And then he comes to this conclusion in chapter 22, verse 1. This is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel. This, right here, this is the place. This is the place where the offering, where people from Israel are going to come and recognize their guilt, and they're also going to have the sacrifice that takes away the guilt of the people of God. This is going to be that special place, that holy ground. Now, that's the story of David and his intersection with this land. But when Solomon was building, he didn't just say, this is the place where the Lord appeared to my father David. He called it by a certain name. He said, this is Mount Moriah. This is Mount Moriah where we're going to build this temple, where we're going to build our building. If we go to Genesis chapter 22, we're going to find even more significance for that. Mount Moriah, by the way, like I said, it's in Jerusalem. It's in that city. But when we go back to Genesis 22, there was no city. There was no Jerusalem there. It was just open desert, open field. It was. It just wasn't there yet. It was just a range of mountains. But in Genesis 22, I want you to hear what the Lord says while he tests Abraham. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, he said, here am I. And he said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I should tell you. Let me give us a little bit of a time issue here. Between the time of Christ born in Bethlehem and David, when he saw that angel, was 28 generations. A lot. 28 generations, at least. I'm trying to think. 28 from David to exile. Yeah, 28. Between David and Abraham was another 14 generations. But God, nonetheless, is leading his man to this same spot. He's taking him to Mount Moriah. He says, I will show you. Go to the land of Moriah. Go to the mountain to which I will show you. And why is he going? The Lord is testing him, but let's see what the test is. He's going to offer a burnt offering. It says you're going to offer your son, your beloved son, the one you love, your only son, as a burnt offering. Now, we know how heart-wrenching this test might have been, must have been. Abraham thinking, we kind of know what he's thinking, because later on in the Bible it says that he trusted God so much that he believed if he went through with the sacrifice, God would raise his son back up, that there'd be a miracle, a resurrection in that place. He knew somehow or another God was going to come through in that place. God was going to make it happen. And so he marches on. And I want you to think, everyone who has teenagers, ever had a teenager, I want you to think of what that walk must have been like. And he's walking with his teenage son, Isaac. Isaac is carrying the wood. His father is carrying the fire and the knife. And Isaac looks and says, hey, Dad, I see the wood, and I see the fire, and I see the knife. Where's the lamb? Where's the lamb at? You know, and he's probably getting a little nervous. Dad, what are we going to sacrifice up on that mountain the Lord shows us? And Abraham says, the Lord will take care of it. They get up on that mountain, and Abraham, with man's strength, ties his teenage boy down to an altar where there's wood, and he has the fire, and he has the knife. And before he sacrifices, though, he hears a voice from heaven said, don't harm your son. Stop. Put the knife away. He puts the knife away. But then he looks, and there is a ram caught in the thickets by its horns. It can't escape. He knows that's the sacrifice that God has substituted for his son. That's the sacrifice that's going to be in place of Isaac right there. But I want you to get the idea of how Abraham felt about this. When we go to chapter 22, verse 14, Abraham names that place. And this is what he calls it. He says, and Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. In that special place, in that place where God designates, It will be provided. What will be provided? A sacrifice to take the place of my son. Now, ultimately, we know who the Lamb of God is going to be. It's not Abraham's direct descendant like Isaac was. Who was the Lamb of God? Who is the Lamb of God that God has provided to take away the sin of the world? Who is that? Do y'all know? I know you know. Will you all say? Yeah. Let's say Jesus on three. One, two, three. Jesus. Jesus is the Lamb of God. Jesus is pictured here. It's the same mountain that the temple is going to be built on, where David offered a sacrifice, the same place where Solomon says, this is the place we're going to build the temple. It's the same place where this ram is there to take the place of Isaac and to be the offering, the burnt offering. And Abraham so long ago says, 42 generations before Christ says, on the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. Now we go to the time of Christ. Going to the time of Christ. Remember, I said Mount Moriah, that's in Jerusalem. The hill is there. I've been on it. I've been privileged to be in the Middle East, in Israel, on Jerusalem. I've been on the Temple Mount. I've been at the Western Wall. I've been at the Southern Steps. I've walked on the foundation where Solomon's temple still has stones. You know, it's there. Trust me. I can show you my pictures. I was much thinner. I was little John back in those days, at least medium. Not Big John. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 51, it says that Jesus steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Why is he going to Jerusalem? Why is he going to that special place in the Gospels? Why is he going there? Why didn't he get crucified in Galilee, in Nazareth? That's where he was from, in Capernaum. That's where his headquarters was. Why didn't he get sacrificed there? Why did he have to go to Jerusalem to die? Why did he have to go to Jerusalem to go onto the cross? Do y'all know why? Because in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. Because in that special place of designation where the prophets prophesied, that's where the cross was going to meet. That's where universally the guilt of mankind and the mercy of God were going to meet on the cross of Christ. In that special place. It wasn't haphazard. It wasn't a freak phenomenon of history. It had been planned from the time of Abraham and beyond. This will be the place where the mercy of God flows. This will be the place where the sin of mankind is taken care of. It was designated to be that place. In the Gospel of John, in verse 19, I just want to read this about this place. There's an emphasis on the place. Verses 17 through 20 in John 19. And Jesus, bearing his cross, went out to the place called the place of the skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side and Jesus in the center. And now Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and in the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Then many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was in Hebrew and Greek and Latin is written in all those languages. It says, this is the place. This is the place where he came to die. This was that special designated place. It wasn't right on the Temple Mount, but I'm going to tell you, it was going to be on the slope of that hill of Mount Moriah, because the Temple Mount's built right on the peak of it. But it had to be there. He had to be there to die. It was that special place, that place designated for him to sacrifice his life on our behalf. Now, I want you to consider why I think our place is going to be special. Why is our building special? Why should we rally up and be another church in this town with a building? Why? Because God has led us to a place like he led these gentlemen to a place, like he led his son to a place, like he led David and Abraham and Solomon to say, this is a place. We've been praying, and God has led us to a special place. But I'm going to tell you what makes that place special is we're going to get dirt in from Jerusalem, and we're going to put it all around there. Is that what's going to make it special? Is it going to be special because of the dirt? It's special there because there were holy cows that used to graze on that land. No, that's not what makes it special. It's special because like manna that fell from the heavens, so did the steel that we built that building with. It's heavenly steel. Is that it? No. No, 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 no. It's something much more significant than dirt or steel. It's the place where we preach and teach and understand that the cross is where the intersection of God's mercy and man's guilt intersect. It's how we use it, what it's dedicated to. It's going to be the place of the cross, not in the physical sense, but in the sense of our doctrine and our teaching and our preaching and our understanding that this is a place dedicated to saying this is the place. Because when Jesus came, he said, it's not here in Jerusalem, and it's not over there on that mountain where you'll worship, but God is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and truth. And I'm going to tell you that that church, just like this building and like our other building, are dedicated to be a place of the cross. And God has us in there for that purpose. And I want to show you three things that I think make Christ Community Church, our location, our building, a special place. It's a place designated for understanding the cross. It's a place for understanding the cross. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, it says in Colossians 1:20, having made peace through the blood of his cross, there is not any peace with God, there is not any sacrifice that God honors besides the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. That's it. And you need to come to understand that. Another part of that understanding is this: we're sinners. You a sinner, I'm a sinner. They're a sinner. We sinners. We're all sinners. You know, part of the gospel message, it's not just that God did something good for us. It's that we've recognized that we needed God to do something good for us. That we knew we were sinners. Oh, I want to be a part of a church where everybody knows they're sinners and there's not a group over here judging a group over there. That we would have a full understanding of the cross. If Christ didn't have to die, he wouldn't have died. If there was a way that righteousness by works could have saved us, he would have gave us a plan. He would have gave us an eightfold path and four noble truths and five pillars. He would have done all that religious stuff and said, this is how you do it. That's not how he did it. He said, y'all can't do it. Peace with God can only come through the cross of Christ. We need to understand that. We need to understand it. The gospel means you're a sinner and I'm a sinner and we need Christ. That's what makes that place special, because that's what we're going to stand on. That's what we're going to come to an understanding to. What else makes that place special? It's going to be a place where the preaching, it's designated for the preaching of the cross. You might say, you're not a preacher. Most folks say, I'm not either. I just get, man, I'm privileged. I'm wonderfully blessed to be up here. But I'm going to tell you what our message is going to be. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul said it, we preach Christ and him crucified. We preach Christ and him crucified. We don't have no religious deal going on. We're not going to give, you don't get a break in heaven. You don't get a break here. You don't get some kind of special treatment if you tithe more or if you tithe less, if you do this or you do that, if you look nice or if you look bad. It doesn't matter. We're going to be talking to people about Christ, and we're going to be preaching Christ and him crucified. That's our message. And it doesn't matter if it's the preacher up front or if it's the Sunday school teacher in their room. By the way, we're going to have rooms. Yes. Thank you. Praise God. I told my class, I said, you know, for 2 years, because of the way this place is shaped, I said, we share our Sunday school time with the band's time. And so for 2 years, I've yelled at my class, we're going to study this verse and we're going to, and I had to talk over and I had to yell at them. I said, it might take me a month or so when we get to the new place and we have our own room. I still may have to yell at you until I get out of that habit, you know. But God has a place for us. God has a place for us to preach the cross, to teach the cross. God also has a place that's designated. That place is designated. Y'all, it's designated before we even get into it. This is why it's being built. This is why it's going to be there, because we have to have a place where we can understand the cross and preach the cross, but also come to learn that we need to bear the cross. You know, Jesus said some very tough things about being his disciple. One of the more famous things is this: whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Bear the cross and come after me. Now, that has a couple different ideas. One is that we bear a cross of our own, as if, you know, to say, hey, these are our burdens. We hear some people say, you know, well, that's just your cross that you have to bear, speaking about maybe a family problem or circumstantial problem. But I'm going to tell you, there's another idea, and it's those who bear the cross, those who hold high the cross, those who proclaim the cross, and they bear it everywhere they go, showing that they are Jesus' disciples. And I'm going to tell you, I think both have their merits, but I lean towards that second reading, that we ought to always carry with us the cross of Christ in our mind, in our heart, in our words, in our workings, in our houses. And y'all, this is the place where we train. God has given us a place, a special place, a place where he's led us, a place where we've prayed over, a place that he's allowing us to dedicate to the work, the preaching, and understanding of the cross of Christ. You might say, well, we've had places. No, we haven't. We've rented other people's places. We've leased places that they could ultimately determine what the use of it is. Now, I know how we used it, and I believe we've been faithful to the gospel in every place we've been. But that place, God has meant for us to say, this will be the place of the cross as long as we are alive, as long as Christ Community Church exists, will be that place of the cross. That's what makes that special. It has nothing to do with dirt. It has nothing to do with how pretty it is. It is pretty out there. If y'all go out there, don't look at the mud. Look at the trees and the pretty part. But it's pretty, prettier than any church campus in town. But that's not what makes it special. What makes it special is that it's going to be designated for the gospel ministry, and God has worked through us to put it there. That's what makes it pretty awesome. Now, for us here, what does that mean for us here? It's what I said. We're that close. We're that close. I'm starting this sermon series. I'll be okay if we end this sermon series in that building. That's how close we are. But we need to have a push. Can you hear me? We need to have a push. We need folks to rise up and say, wait, I'm not going to rest on what other people have contributed. I'm not going to rest on what other people can do, but I'm not going to offer to the Lord that which will cost me nothing. We have to be at that place of sacrifice and say, let's get it done. This is a special place. We prayed. We thought it was here. It wasn't. We thought it was there. It wasn't. We thought it was right here in this building. It's not. It's there. We've eliminated all the other choices. It's there. Now, Christ Community Church, get behind it. See where God's working, and let's join him and say, yes, what do I need to do? Because that's the place God has designated us to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and the cross of Christ in Grenada, Mississippi. Amen? Father God, thank you for how you love us. Thank you for this time. And Lord, I pray that we wouldn't just be just on the fringes of what you're doing, or hypothetical or unclear. You're showing us, like you led Abraham to the place, like you led David to that place, like you led Solomon to that place, like you led Jesus to that place. You've led us to a place, and it's not about the dirt. It's not, in their case, it's not like the Mount Moriah. It's the fact that it's the place of the cross and designated for gospel ministry. Father, help us to be behind that. Oh, that every church building... Oh, that every church building in Grenada was dedicated to the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we, as far as our house and our church, we say that one will be. That's why it's there. That's why it's being built. Help us, Lord, as we finish what you've brought us to. We love you, and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Throughout this time, you will have opportunity Sarah came and gave an announcement about February 22nd. On February 22nd, there's going to be, you know, we're going to have like a pounding or a church shower where we do some fundraising, but we're also going to start a campaign that's going to go from 12 months, starting in the first week of March to the for that year, to raise money to say, let's get this, let's make the push. We're in the final stages. God didn't bring us here to stop. Let's push on, let's push on. That's what he's going to do. I'm excited about it. And you just pray and see what God would have you to do. I'm going to ask the ushers if they'd come down for the morning offering. Father God, thank you for how you love us. And Lord, we do pray that you would help us to see how you are clearly working, how you've clearly led, and help us to be involved. Not to brag on us, because there's no bragging in the cross except for bragging on Jesus. Because in the cross, we admit we can't do it. So, Father, in this offering, we just turn our needs up to you, and we say, Lord, we look to your provision, because in the place, in your place, it will be provided. And, Lord, we love you, and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.